Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series by OSCA Wellness, the coolest new product in pain relief. Run Catalina.com, Catalina Marathon, the 40th anniversary coming up on Saturday, March 11th. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation, where we've raised over $80 million for Keep Challenged Athletes in the Game of Life through Sport. And you can check out any of our interviews on Babbittville on iTunes and subscribe to our newsletter. Our next guest is the Ultraman World Champion, Mr. Iñaki de la Parra. Iñaki, how are you?
Thank you, Bob. Feeling good after the race and such an amazing race, and it was great to have you there.
Oh, it was really an honor to be able to go around the island. It's funny, if that race was this weekend, the weather would be just a little different.
Oh yeah, I agree.
There's all sorts of snow over there. It's pretty crazy right now.
Yeah.
So Iñaki, take me back. You grew up in Mexico?
Yeah, I grew up in Mexico City. I'll be here all my life. Some altitude. 3,000 meter elevation, 2,500. So I guess that helped me a little bit in my endurance career. And yeah, 100% Mexican.
What were your sports growing up? Were you a soccer guy?
No, not at all. I was doing a little bit of jayalay or pelota vasca. That's a Spanish sport.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a little bit of Muay Thai and some motorsport as well.
Yeah, so you race cars for a while.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
And so when did you find out about, or when did you fall into endurance sports?
Well, I saw the Hoyt team, you know, that.
Dick and Rick, yeah.
Story. I saw that amazing video of the can. And I just said, well, if they can do it, maybe I should give it a try. And I was just hooked. And I started by myself, you know. Rookie mistake, I was going like crazy. First year, I was doing two Ironmans, 370.3s. I got injured. But yeah, I just jumped into the triathlon, and I just love it.
So you just, right away, you're like, okay, after watching that, and it's funny, because the gal who produced that piece on the Hoyts, Lisa Lacks, produced our film, Emmanuel's Gift, as well. She's an amazing filmmaker. That piece motivated a lot of people to get into the sport of triathlon. But you jumped right in and started doing Ironman races?
Yeah, I was in Ironman Frankfurt, Ironman Cozumel. I did 70.3 in Wiesbaden. I did a bunch of races in the same year. It was kind of wild, something I will never do again. But yeah, it was just, I see it, you know, in the back mirror, and I don't regret at all. I think I'll do it differently now, but I just love the sport, and that was my start, and I'm proud of it.
How old were you when you got into it? That's just,
well, that was in 2008,
yeah.
So I'm 33 now, so a little bit younger.
So you really didn't get into the sport until your late 20s, early 30s, and
yeah.
Was the draw, you know, because you've done a variety. You've done the Olympic, you've done sprints, you've done all sorts of different distances. What is it about the longer distance that appeals to you?
Well, you know, I did the Ironman and 70.3, and I like those races.
Yeah.
But when I saw Ultraman, I was just hooked by the distance initially. And then I started digging a little bit more into the history of the race.
Yeah.
And about the Ohana, the Kokua, the Aloha, these values that all the competitors and the crews as well, this was a big part of it, because I was all my life in individual sports, and I wanted to share with my family, my wife. At that initial moment, I was having a child in my first race, so I wanted to take him there to see it. Even he was a baby. So I just wanted to get more involved, all my family. For me, this is a lifestyle, so
sure.
I just want to share it with everybody, and I found in Ultraman that.
So when you came over to Ultraman for the first time, what year was that?
That was 2012 in UK, and it was amazing, because without having a lot of background in this ultra stuff, I won the race, and I was just hooked more into that.
Of course, you win the race, and having that experience of doing it with your family, was that ended up being a big part of the draw for you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I have their full support, and my kid loves Ultraman, and he knows everybody in the race. Now I have a daughter, which I haven't been able to involve fully. She was there last year that I was racing, but I'm planning on getting her back in the island maybe next year or after next year. So yeah, this is big for us. It's like a family situation, and we just love to share it.
So last year, and I think you were sick on that last day, but you ended up 13th. And I'm sure your expectations were higher than that.
Well, I was training as hard as I was training this year, and I was actually in Kona since I was staying in Ironman race, and I just stayed there until Ultraman. I was training. I was doing everything.
Sure.
The biking, the swimming, the run in the course. So I was well prepared, but something happened in my immune system. Then I had a pulmonary disease. Then I had some kind of bacteria in my skin. So it ended up being from worse to worse. So I started the race sick, and I wanted to abandon just in the swing start, but my wife didn't allow me to do that. even the race organizers didn't want me to fully race because I was not in the best shape of my life. I was all inflamed, and my attitude was not the best one. But actually, my crew got me to the finish line, and that's something I will never forget. And this is what I was telling you when we were back in the Big Island. This is a teamwork. Without them, I was not. I definitely will be a DNF last year.
So, how did you prepare differently this year for Ultraman? Were you in Kona again a long time before the race?
No, I did only 1 month. I arrived November 1st to the island. I was training with Jeremy, who is also an elite athlete in Ironman. He's racing as a pro, and he got third last year in Ultraman World, so he knows very well the distance. I also have a new coach, Alan Cousin, in Boulder, Colorado, who has helped me to, refine some things about the intensity, the volume. So we have been working in a much more, in-depth professional way that I was used to do before.
So you ever been attracted to the fact that you're competing at a high level? Have you ever thought, gosh, maybe I should just go and try to be a pro and try to make some dollars?
Yeah, I feel like I'm an elite athlete in this distance, and I fully believe that the distance is what I love to do, and I will survive doing this distance in my sport, my family. I'm a coach as well, so this gives me also like a little bit of exposure to my athletes. Mm-hmm. And this is just what I love. Of course, I like the Ironman, and I have thought about, racing pro, but I'm still not 100% convinced. I feel like Ultraman is my race. I do well. My body type, my mindset is just for this distance. I'm not afraid of going super long and going at a different pace that Ironman athletes are used to go.
What this year watching this race? So after day one, I think you were down 11-12 minutes or something like that, and Rob Gray had the lead. And on day two, when we saw Rob a little outside of Hilo, he had about a 2:49 lead on you that day on the bike. And the next thing is we're on the Kohalas, and you are 15 minutes ahead. What the heck happened?
Well, I was prepared to do that move. That was my ass under my jacket, and I was just ready to rock. And as soon as I ended up doing the gulches, I said, "Okay, it's time to go. Let's keep up the tempo." And I was going as hard as I could for the last, let's say, three and a half hours. So I was sure that it was going to be hard for anybody to keep up with me. Because I knew my watch, even that my power meter died as soon as I went off of Red Road, so in Pahoa and that area. I know the feeling of the tempo and a little bit the heart rate help, but I know the feeling when I'm going hard. And I'm a good cyclist, and I know that it was going to be hard for anybody else to keep up with me. I was pretty sure that I was going to make a big lead on that day.
So the other thing is, at the end of the day, I think your lead is, 4 minutes or something like that, 4 to 5 minutes. And then when we spotted you on during the double marathon, Rob had eaten into the lead, and I think we were about I don't know, it was after the 30 mile mark or so, he actually had gained to the point where he was in the lead. And again, it was like all of a sudden you were shot out of a cannon, and you ended up outsplitting him by, I think, 47, 48 minutes for that run.
Yeah, I was planning to run the double marathon, negative splits, so basically every 21K faster than the other.
Yeah.
So it ended up happening that. And I always say this to even to my athletes. There is not going to happen anything, you know, spectacular on race day. If you train something, and in training the things were okay and they went with certain numbers,
yes,
that's what's going to happen on race day. So you just stick to those numbers. So I always race within myself. That's something I have learned in the ultra distance. If you take risks that you're not ready to take, you're going to pay hard on those.
Well, it's fascinating because you were so calm when, you know, all of a sudden here you've got this 5-minute lead, 4-minute lead, and then, okay, Rob is basically it's tied. And it's funny to me because there's 20-some miles left in a 320-mile race, and you're basically deadlocked. And then you just seem to shift it into another gear. It was very, very impressive to seeing somebody run a 7:01:49 double marathon at the end of that. But you felt that your training was put you in that position.
Yeah, definitely. I believe in the work you do every day, and of course you adapt to the circumstances of the race. But also the circumstances were not so normal. So I was able to, you know, get the gear and just hit the numbers and run fast.
So you're the first Mexican athlete to win Ultraman. And what has been the reception when you went back home to Mexico City?
Well, it's awesome. All the people, like the triathlon community, is very bumped, and I'm as well. You know, I was expecting to win at some point, and I've been working hard for this world championship since I started in 2012. So for me, it's not a surprise, but it's just amazing to accomplish a dream and a goal that you have been working for such a long time. And I think I bring to Mexico, you know, some faith, some motivation for different triathletes and different persons. And this is awesome, that the greetings that I'm getting from the Mexican, the triathlon community, and even from those Latin American countries is very, very wide. And I'm really glad and supportive also with them.
The thing that fascinates me about you, Iñaki, is you're not just an athlete. You have a couple of college degrees, a couple of master's degrees, if I'm not mistaken, and then you're living in Mexico. Your wife is Polish. You're moving to Poland, and you're a very interesting character. What will you be doing when you move to Poland?
Well, you know, I'm coming and going. I'm in Mexico. I'm in Kona. I'm in Poland, and I come and go all the time.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I feel like I'm an elite athlete with an entrepreneur soul. So I just try to push hard. Now I'm starting a coaching business focusing on cycling in Eastern Europe with my partner, Arek Kogut, who is a former cyclist.
Yes.
And, yeah, and we're putting together some cycling races, and we're in touch with Rafa Majka and with some good pro cyclists, and yeah, it's for me, it's awesome. I love the sport, and this is my lifestyle, and it really doesn't matter if it's running or swimming or triathlon. I just love it all. It's endurance, you know, and the mindset around all these persons, and the love for the passion for the sport.
Is the world of endurance growing in Mexico City and throughout the country?
Yeah, and I would say Mexico is booming. Like, it already boomed. I would say it's one of the primary markets in the world. Maybe as Brazil is doing, and I think Mexico is in the top 3 in the world, or even top 5 in the world in triathlon. You can see this, like, in the ITU World Championships, always the biggest delegation of athletes is always from Mexico. So that tells a lot about the sport in the country. And what happened recently in the Olympics is the first time that we have 3 male athletes competing with three spots for the national team. So it's growing and growing and getting more professional, and I love this. It's just amazing for the sport and for our country as well.
So what's next for you? It's one of those things where you, when you win Ultraman, I'm sure other Ultraman events want you to come there, but if you start doing more than one of those a year, you can burn yourself out.
Yeah, definitely. I will never do more than one Ultraman per year. And I'm just deciding if I will go and defend the title for next year, or I will wait one more year, so coming back on 2018. I haven't decided yet. I think it's, this off-season time gives you the time to think about what you achieve, because sometimes you get that like 2 or 3 weeks after what you accomplished. And, I guess by January, February, I'll be more cold in my mind to make a decision. But definitely I would love, and I will keep coming to Hawaii, to Ultraman Hawaii, to race it. And maybe next time we'll be with the aim for some, cars records. And definitely I would love to go sub six hours in the marathon. And that's going to take me a couple of years of training. My bike is pretty good. I was never swimming to my fullest this year. And I think it's going to get more interesting with the time. There is a lot of athletes, young generations, coming to the Ultra. David Kalinowski, Jeremy Howard, like a lot of young athletes that will push boundaries. And I just love this competition. We are all friends, and we're just going to push the numbers higher and higher every year.
So when you look at this particular race, do you look at this as your most important win ever, or are there other events that you've won or have done well in that mean more to you personally?
Well, from the perspective of winning, I think this is my biggest win and my biggest accomplishment in sport. But definitely last year, for example, when I was sick and I was trying to abandon the race, I don't know, thousands of times, and just getting to the finish line sick with fever, antibiotics, and just being there and said, okay, in the worst possible conditions, I got to the finish line. About every race you do, you will learn something. And this is what I love about this sport. But definitely, Hawaii 2016 was my big win. But always I have something about every race I do.
Where did the nickname The Bull come from?
I really don't know. It's just starting made up by... I was training a lot in British Columbia, in Victoria, with some elite athletes there, and I think it came from there. I'm a big guy. You already saw me in person, and quite my determination. At the beginning that I started in the sport, I was zero patient, so it was contrary to what you saw.
This was all about patience.
Yeah, and these, going crazy, it was like, yeah, okay, it's coming the Mexican, the bull, the crazy guy who is going to rock since the start. And now it's funny because my body has changed a little bit, my mind has changed a little bit, and it's coming away around this, but the bull is my nickname, and I just love it.
That is great. And Yaki, now how old is your son?
My son is 5 years old, and my daughter, Lena, she's just 1.5.
And your son enjoys being at the races with you?
Oh, yeah, he loves it. He wants to do the Iron Kids, and I'm planning to help him with the... He already has a bike, and he's already swimming, and he's already running. So now that I'm coming back to Poland in the winter, he's already, pushing for the... You have to show me how to do the transitions, and he's just too into it. So I love it.
I love it. And Yaki, thanks so much for taking time. It was great to meet you over there. Congratulations on winning the Ultraman World Championship. That's pretty cool to be the first Mexican athlete to do that.
Thank you, Bob. And it was really awesome to have you there and to enjoy the race with you.
All right. And Yaki de la Parra has been our guest. We are brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series, by Oska Wellness, the coolest new product in pain relief, by RunCatalina.com, the Catalina Marathon coming up on March 11th. It's a 40th anniversary of the event. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $80 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville, on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here.